is, let's see, where are we at here? 1 minute and, 1 minute and 12 seconds. 13, 14. I can already feel the cold medicine kicking in. I'm becoming amused by this. by the most pedantic of things.
It's not DayQuil, is it?
No. I don't think you can buy DayQuil anymore. You know why? It works. It's effective. As such, it's been disallowed.
I almost sliced off the tip of my finger having cold cuts on DayQuil one day.
I think that's expressly listed on the back of things you should, things not to do. Along with you, walk upright. Hello. It is a 1 minute 58 seconds after the hour of 12, and this, the month of August, the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed, yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson radio program. I sound fantastic.
Nice of Melissa Etheridge to join us today.
Thank you. 2 points. Jim Riley. I like to feel that my music is very traditional. All right. Next, I'll be calling Stephanie Miller in the morning and thanking her for all the good work she's doing. Anywho, I sound exactly like a guy who ought to be doing 4 hours instead of three. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970 on this Thursday. You'd like to engage with us electronically, you can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com, rick@rickemerson.com. We thank you for coming by. You'd like to email us as well, you can do that. You can engage with us electronically. It is rick@rickemerson.com, rick@rickemerson.com. We'll get to the forward promote here in just a moment. But I would like to say thank you to everybody who expressed concern for my health and well-being.
It did no good.
Yeah. I was just going to say, you can put that right next to prayer in the list of things that helps.
God works in mysterious ways.
That's sort of an Onion headline in the making. You know, so you could very easily hear Doyle, God answers boys' small boys' prayer. No, says God.
And then the blind school burned down. Well, that was last night's Little House on the Prairie episode.
I was just going to say, this is absolutely an episode of Father Murphy in the making right here. Anywho, we'll get to a whole bunch of stuff in just a moment. We'll welcome our good friend Chris the Mailman to the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. And if you'd like to email us, it's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com and so forth. Let me find the hold on, I gotta find the mailman bed here. Hold on.
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
There we go. Fantastic. I never grow tired of that. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show our official stenographer, Mailman Chris. How are you, sir?
I am doing excellent.
All right, so are you ready to transcribe those items which will be forward promoted and guaranteed at this time?
Absolutely.
All right, what is the push-up count right now?
48.
It doesn't even seem possible. It just seems like a number that's so huge. Here's the thing about 48. That number, I read this great special. I read this great article once. I was, and then they made a documentary about it. It was on I was on Nova, one of those shows. But it was something about those Easter Island statues. And they were noting that the Easter Island statues were actually, those huge stone heads, that they were actually so large and so big that people who came and lived in that area of the world after the fact, after they had been built, just didn't see them. And the reason they didn't see them is because they were so large that they just defied all. You couldn't even imagine that they existed. They were too large to be believed. And so by dint of that, they therefore didn't exist. So people just walked around the island and just didn't see it. And that's kind of how I feel with the push-up tally as of now. So, and what are we doing? If I get all the items done in a given day, that I get to cut three. Is that it?
Correct.
All right. Well, here's what we're going to get through today. We have the Rockstar Recap. And it's going to take a lot of work not to just dwell on that from the very beginning here, because I got all kinds of thoughts about that. I got many, many observations to make about Rockstar Supernova last night. Let's see. We have CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop is going to join us today. Bob Costantini as well. We will, without fail. I'm saying this now as a man of my word. We will today get to the top five because win, lose, or draw, it doesn't matter how things work out for Storm at this point. That Rockstar show's only got like another 3 weeks. I think the finale, they say, it happens September 13th is when that takes place. So I think we only got like 2.5, 3.5 weeks regardless. So we're going to get to the top five today because any and all top five that are even vaguely Rockstar related, we got to get to all of those. And I have in my hands, wait, not, that's a figurative, not a literal. Oh, here we go. I have here in my hands a list of the items that they are offering us now. This is the list of items that CBS Radio has offered to stock in the kitchen vending machine. But apparently it's like a will of the people sort of a thing. They're passing, this whole form has gone around the office. Have you gotten this?
No.
Yeah, they don't. Okay. Well, everyone except for Tim Riley is going to be allowed to weigh in on how they're stocking the kitchen vending machine here. So we will go through that a little later on. Oh, and I've got the worst phrase of the day that pays in May. And I'm going to read this apropos of nothing. This has nothing to do with anything. I'd like to thank the good folks at FARC for pointing me towards this. This is just a little phrase you can put inside your head today. Maybe try to work it into conversation. Maybe try to slip this in between two other more innocuous phrases. It says, his body was discovered naked with KY jelly and a condom laying next to him. You can add that to the list of things that you do not want to read in the story about yourself. Same with him when you shuffle off your motor coil, Chris. All right, there you go. Have you got everything, sir?
I do. I've got the Rockstar recap. Jim Roop, Bob Constantini, the top five, the CBS pantry list.
Yes, yes.
And the worst phrase of the day, which you've already got.
Which I've already got. And see, that's a bonus. Yeah, that's just a little plus from me to you. That's because Rick Emerson cares, my friend. All right. So there you go. We will check back with you at the end of today's program. And I will be assigned an additional push-up, even in my weakened state. Even here, doing the show with half my vocal cords tied behind my back to make it fair. I am endeavoring to get to all of these items because it's what I do, Chris.
Will do.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Right.
All right, there you go. There's Chris. All right, Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification of the day.
Well, we've just found out that John Carr, I should say, ran a home-based daycare center. We understand he's hopping on a plane to go from L.A. to Boulder as we speak. The city of Dallas wants to outlaw sagging pants. A landscaping boss beats an employee with a bat because he didn't like the way he cut the grass.
That's fantastic.
And a new study shows the Aztecs butchered an 8 Spanish invaders.
All right, so there you go. That's all in the way. Let's get underway, ladies and gentlemen, with this. Jim Riley, he's at the city desk and so forth with
time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Good afternoon, comrades. Our top story, a flight is now underway between L.A. and Boulder, according to Scotty J., bringing John Mark Carr to justice. The man accused of killing 6-year-old John Madea Ramsey kept children at a daycare center he operated in northwest Alabama.
Well, why wouldn't you?
That's a recipe for disaster if you put all these things together. And why wouldn't you expect it for that reason?
Seriously.
He was probably given the key to the city for doing such a thing.
Think of all the hundreds of variables in that story that are coalescing to make it terrible.
Mm-hmm.
This is where? Alabama?
Alabama.
Just checking. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
The Marin County Department of Human Resources issued a license for Carr to begin operating a daycare center out of his home in 1997. I guess they must have a big ribbon-cutting ceremony there. Can you see somebody strumming a banjo with a theme from Deliverance while they're cutting the ribbon?
I'm sorry.
The Sheriff's Department conducted a background check, whatever that would entail, before the license was... They called Sarah at Central and asked her if she ever heard of him before. Apparently not.
You got to stop it. It's one of those days I can already tell, and I'm not even on any cold medication. I can already tell it's one of those days when I'm going to have to fight to retain my sanity every moment. I think the background check, it's just sort of like that guy in Misery where he just takes the post-it note and just sticks it up on the wall and then leans back and begins to pick his teeth with a piece of wood. Or just check it to see that the guy has all his fingers. That probably counts.
He was just seen eating barbecue once at the roadside stand.
He seemed like good people.
Sitting around the Cracker Barrel for an hour. And he said,
would you like to watch my babies?
Bring all God's children over here. We'll take good care of them. Kerr didn't receive any complaints before the two-year election expired in 1999.
Why would he? He seems like such a stable, well-grounded fellow.
We do know he kept children. But it is really hard
cages.
To get. But it is really hard to get a handle on the number. Nobody can count that high in Northwest Alabama.
Stop. Okay.
So apparently he's on. We don't know if this is a nonstop flight between. We didn't see his boarding pass. We don't know if a meal is included between L.A. and Boulder.
And I really have to say this: that at no point in my life did I anticipate that I would be paralyzed with laughter about anything involved in the JonBenet Ramsey case. That's not really, you don't really anticipate a lot of humorous twists and turns in such a story, but
no.
Once again, Tim Riley doesn't disappoint. He lights the comedic way for all of us, kids. Oh, good God almighty. All right.
Anyway, that's...
I sound goddamn terrible today, don't I?
You do.
Thank you. I came into work today, and Christy, who sort of sits across from me on the other side of the building, she said, how are you doing today? I said, I think I've turned a corner. She said, no, you sound even worse. There you go, a little... Few positive affirmations to start.
Turn the corner of the strep throat.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, a pedestrian's accused of trying to smuggle $535,000 worth of heroin in her girdle in Laredo, Texas.
In a girdle.
The woman from Mexico, what would a Mexican girdle look like? Had 11 pounds of heroin on her when she was stopped at the gateway to the America Bridge.
Wait, hold on. What would a Mexican girdle look like? There's some racist, hilarious response to that.
I believe so. I'm waiting for it.
No.
Some other day?
No, maybe on another day I would be able to, if there are any unemployed morning DJs out there who would like to, hey, speaking of racism, have we all been, I don't even really care about Survivor, but have you seen that whole thing about this new season of Survivor?
No, there's too many of these shows on now.
I know I'm like the last guy on Earth, especially the last guy with a radio show to bring this up, but the deal with the new Survivor and Laura is just giddy, because here's the thing, we are really living in the world of one Mr. Paddy Chayefsky. And if you don't know who Paddy Chayefsky is, Paddy Chayefsky was a guy. He wrote the movie Network.
Yes, he did.
And Network, which is referred to over so frequently that it's become a cliche to refer to Network as being a prophetic film. But Network, which was put out in 1976, winner of 4 Academy Awards, by the way, he was such a visionary in that he saw the evolution or de-evolution of television into just lowest common denominator.
As it is today.
Pap, yeah, that wallows in all manner of human depravities and weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And that guy just saw in advance, he just predicted the rise of so much, including reality television. But I remember when Survivor first came on the air, and I think at one point didn't they do a men versus women thing? They did like a battle of the sexes thing. And I asked, Laura, I'm like, oh, you know what they ought to do? I said, not wishing, of course, to add to racial strife in the country, but simply viewing everything as I do through a cynical, jaded, non-caring lens. I just said, well, they ought to do some sort of, like Whitey versus everybody else. You know, just sort of anything, just because I know what people, look, if there's one thing I know how to do, it's pander. I know how to pander to the lowest common denominator. And we just thought that even then, this a couple years ago, we just thought it was too outrageous, they'd never do it, but that's exactly what they're going to do. So on the new Survivor, which I believe starts on CBS, in like 3 weeks, something like that. It's going to be 4 tribes, the white man, the black man, the Asian man, and then I believe there will be, Mexicans or Latins or...
Wow, it's just what America looks like.
I know I've been down this road before. I don't really understand what the term Latin even means, because really unless you're a centurion, you're really not Latin. Unless you're from Rome, you're not Latin. But at some point, that's just one of those incorrect things we decided just to let slip into the lexicon. It's like saying forte instead of fort. So at some point, people who were Spanish or Hispanic or Mexican in origin just became Latin, which is a little bit just like saying that I'm from Mars. It just doesn't. I'm not trying to be insulting. I'm just saying I don't understand where that. Tim, you're a newsman.
Yes.
From whence does the term Latin or Latina? From whence does that derive? Does anyone know?
I guess they're considered to be a Latin people.
But they're not. Okay.
Actually, Mexicans, as we know them,
they're not.
As we see them, they're actually descendants of Aztec Indians.
Well, Mexicans, yes, this is true. Now, Mexicans are, taking a turn into some sort of a civics
course. Welcome to C-SPAN 1.
Hello. George Will will be by any moment now. As I understand it, people who we, that is to say, Tim Riley and myself and my mom, refer to as Mexicans, I believe are people who are descendants of native peoples from that time and the Spanish conquerors. Is that right?
That's correct. And many of them, the Aztecs, butchered and ate Spanish invaders. Although we don't have a
and
a
babies.
Well, we have that story coming up at the moment. It's historically accurate.
Right.
Not that all of them engage in such a practice.
Not that we care about accuracy. Let's, hello, Chuck. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. How can I help you, sir?
Hey, Rick.
Oh.
Jesus, God.
Hey, Latin refers to the language
what?
They speak. It's a Latin-based language.
Yes. I'm sorry, what about it? Hello?
Latin.
Yeah.
It's a Latin-based language. Spanish is.
Yeah, but everything's a Latin-based
language.
It's one
language. Of the Romance languages, which refer to Roman.
So we don't call. But so is French, isn't it?
Yes.
So we don't call French the French.
It's a Romance language.
So we don't call the French people Latin.
No.
Doesn't make any sense. It's complete goddamn gibberish.
Okay.
No, I'm not trying to say that you're wrong about it being a Romance language.
I have nothing
language.
To do with the decision.
I'm sorry, Chuck. I don't mean to unload on you. I'm just saying, to me, I don't know that. It just seems a little
the
random.
Things that get under your skin, Rick.
Don't get me wrong. It's not that I really care all that much. I'm going to lay awake and it doesn't even apply to me. I don't care. I'm just saying, you know what kind of puzzles me or what frustrates me, rather, is things that just don't make any sense. Things that seem arbitrary or random. They just sort of, I mean, for example.
Right. Well, the Catholic Church, you know, is heavily involved there. And so Latin, you know, the Latin Mass, et cetera.
Right.
And so that's, and Spanish is based on Latin.
I had somebody from another country ask me one time why flammable and inflammable meant the same thing. And you have no idea how angry I was for the next 2 or 3 days that I had no real explanation for it. You know?
Hey, could you do us a favor, us listeners a favor? About every 5 minutes today, could you go... I would just feel better.
Sure.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
All right. We'd love to continue talking to you, but... all right. No, but every couple minutes today, I... thank you. Every couple minutes, I will do this.
There's nothing wrong with a $2 whore.
All right, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley.
Okay, keeping up the education on this program, it's time for the Cannibal Watch.
Here's your Cannibal Watch for whatever the hell this is. Thursday, right here on this, the Rick Emerson radio program.
Eat it, if it's getting cold, reheat it. Have a big dinner, have a light snack. If you don't like it, you can't send it back. Just eat it.
Aztecs butchered and ate Spanish invaders. Skeletons found in an unearthed site in Mexico show Aztecs captured, ritually sacrificed, and partially ate several hundred people traveling with invading Spanish forces in 1520.
Are we doing a cannibal watch from hundreds of years ago?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
This is a classic cannibal watch.
That's fantastic. Thank you.
Skull and bones from an archaeological site near Mexico City show about 550 victims, that's a lot, had their hearts ripped out by Aztec priests and ritual offerings, and were dismembered or had their bones boiled or scraped clean. The findings of accounts of Aztecs show they captured and killed a caravan of Spanish conquistadors. I love that word.
Conquistador is a fantastic word.
Mm-hmm. Reminds me of those big black hats like we wore. Experts say the discovery proves some Aztecs did resist the conquistadors, which were led by Hernan Cortez.
Yeah, Cortez is fantastic. If anybody studies history or paid attention or bothered to go to school, Cortez is great because Cortez, and I may be getting my stories mixed up, but I don't believe I am. If I'm correct about this, see, if they would just put me in charge of American schools or in charge of everything for like a year, this whole country would just run like a freaking top, man.
Well, this is kind of like summer school because school is out.
This is more of an alternative school. That's really what this is. This is your alternative education. For kids who don't find American education gripping, you come here. We will give us your young, soft, unformed brains, and we will make you intelligent and intellectually fearsome. Unless I am wrong about this, Cortez took advantage of a very, very fortuitous historical coincidence, which is that I do believe, for the people who were living here at that time, the people who were living in what is now Mexico, I do believe that in some of their sort of mythos, it had been prophesized that a golden man with white hair, would sort of like a god, would appear, and that they were all to bow before him. Mm-hmm. And like, and it was like they've been told that it was going to happen for hundreds of years, and then it got to be where it was like, and next Tuesday, don't forget, the golden god will appear, and ye must all bow before him. And literally on that day, like Tuesday morning, they're like, where is the golden god? And like that day was when Cortez just happened to appear from Spain, golden, blonde hair, blah, blah, blah. And they're all, hey, hello, it's the golden god, let us all bow. And then he killed everyone. So that didn't work out too well for them, I suppose. It is interesting.
But some of these Aztec folks ate their victims raw and bloody hearts, or took flesh from their arms and legs once it dropped off the boiling bones. Knife cuts and even teeth marks on the bones show which ones had the meat stripped off to be eaten.
And welcome to the lunch hour.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Is this a...
And that...
There's your historical...
Classic Cannibal Watch.
Classic Cannibal Watch, kids. Okay.
Have a big dinner, have a light snack. If you don't like it, you can't send it back. Just eat it, eat it. Get yourself an egg and be
alive. All right, thank you. What is it? Oh, is it 2 minutes? Is it time for me to clear my throat? I won't, but I will play this.
I've got a terrible cocaine habit.
There you go. It's 503-733-2970. Let us now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent and man of the people, Bob Costantini. How are you, sir?
Good afternoon.
How is life in the big city, my friend?
Oh, it's wonderful.
Are you just saying that by rote? You don't really...
Well, it's vacation time for a lot of people, so it's, you know, the news is in fits and starts and little bits and pieces here. And, you know, we just try to continue to make sure that I, you know, do something today so that the folks in Atlanta will know I've, you know, done my job and justified my existence and all that.
That's a pretty bleak outlook, Bob. I'd say you've been in a fairly black mood the last few days. Is there some sort of streamlining that's coming down the pike that we haven't been told about?
No, I prefer it when there's busy news and there's some big news out of Washington and that kind of thing.
Have you ever been tempted to create, just to make up a story?
Oh, no.
You've never been tempted to do the Citizen Kane thing where you just fire random gunshots into the air so you'll have something to cover?
No. No, not quite that way.
All right, I'm telling you, I'm suggesting now that you should do that. That would be my suggestion. Plant lingerie on a congressperson. Leave some sort of incriminating. Leave it like a condom wrapper, you know, in a page's office. Something. I'm trying to help, Bob.
A little less exciting than that. I'm in the midst of writing a story about home sales for July.
That really is less exciting. That's not going to keep you at CNN, Bob.
No, I suppose not.
Home sales don't make the buttercup shine, my friend.
And there's not a lot of people around, so it's...
Let me ask you this, and we can speak honestly as men here. So you say that it's very sort of slack there right now, not a lot of actual news happening, not many in the way stories. Is that why you've been able to talk to us? Because sometimes we request that you come on the show to speak with us, and we're rather brusquely told no. So now, in the last few weeks, you've been able to come on and speak with us. We're like, well, perhaps the worm has turned. Perhaps Bob has a warm place for us in his heart, or the guest booker, perhaps. Perhaps Laura Caviezel. Is it really not the fact that they're being nice to us? Is it just that there's no one else around asking? And so we're kind of able to get the leftover piece of chicken that no one wants?
See, I'm not sure how to answer that question.
You can just say whatever comes to your mind.
No, it's just that there are a lot of times, for me particular, I've run different shifts. And so, you know, there are days when I'm available at 3 o'clock or, you know, which is our time, of course.
Uh-huh.
Three-ish hour time, and there are days when I'm supposed to be home after three-ish hour time.
Yes, correct.
And also there are the people around, and but by and large, it hasn't been all that busy lately, too. I will say that.
All right.
So you could take all the cream out of the cafeteria, and nobody would notice.
I guess. All right. I can read between the lines, Bob. I know what's going on.
Not at all.
Let us talk about our good friend, and by our good friend, I mean no one's good friend, Joe Lieberman.
All right.
Now, let me ask you this. If you were to rank his Joe-mentum on a scale of 0 to 10 right now,
yes,
with 0 being he will never be elected to anything ever again, and 10 being he will be our new installed for life dictator. Where would you rank the Jomentum on a scale of 0 to 10? Because I heard that he was slightly ahead in the polls.
Mm-hmm.
Now that he's, because he got enough votes to run as an signatures to run as an independent, right?
Yes, his name will be on the ballot, and in fact, at the top of the ballot, even as an independent, in Connecticut, he got the required signatures. So that's really the news out of this situation. And if you want me to rate his chances, well, I'll rate his electable chances, and I have to give it a 5 out of 10, because the polls do show him and Ned Lamont running neck and neck at this point. And what's-his-face, the Republican Schlesinger, actually, the Republican nominee, is getting about 3%, I think, in the latest poll that I've seen.
Is the appeal of the Lamont guy just that he's not Joe Lieberman?
Well, of course, to a lot of Democratic voters in Connecticut, it is the fact that he is not Joe Lieberman. That's how he was nominated, by and large. And it's a state that, you know, tends to be more liberal than the rest of the country. And, you know, when he has been so much a vocal supporter of the war in Iraq and the situation and the war on terror, and the president's handling of a lot of these things, you know, the Democratic voters in Connecticut were certainly trying to send a message with the aid for Ned Lamont, with some of the more liberal groups from the Democrat that there are affiliated with.
There is sort of a eating their own kind of a thing going on in the left wing of the Democratic
sure.
Party, wouldn't you say? I mean, there really is. It's kind of like Lord of the Flies in that party right now. There's between Michael Moore and MoveOn.org and then, you know, all of these sort of smaller, fractious little splinter groups. There's a thinning of the herd happening in the Democratic Party.
You see that
party.
Also, though, on the Republican side as well.
Yeah, but you expect it from them because they're savages. You know it's true.
Well, I certainly don't believe that. But
yes, you do.
You know, but you see a lot of the splintering with the Republican Party. The ultra-conservative groups have expressed a lot of disdain for President Bush over certain issues. Immigration, of course, comes to mind immediately, and other things. And even the you know, some of the stem cell decisions that have been made lately. And today we also have the notice that the Plan B pill will be made available over-the-counter to anyone over 18. Well, that does not sit well with a lot of the ultra-conservatives, anti-abortion people here in Washington.
Well, you know,
they're getting a lot of criticism about that as well.
If I was somebody's coming up with Plan B, I think Karl Rove ought to be coming up with a Plan B right now. That's who ought to be having a Plan B, my friend. You can quote me on that.
All right,
Bob Costantini. We always enjoy you on the show, my friend. And
I didn't talk to you about many things.
No, it's well, you know what? We like to make it a wide-ranging, broad experience here, Bob. All right, enjoy your Washington, D.C. day. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you, sir. There you go. Bob Costantini on the Rick Emerson Show. There you go. Boy, that guy's fun to screw with. It's 503-733-2970. We come back. Someone has a bone to pick about Weird Al. Okay. It's 503-733-2970, the Rick Emerson Show. Still to come, top 10 Ron Popeil inventions, Jim Roop, Ed McCarthy. Don't go anywhere. It's AM 970, Solid State Radio. You stay right there. Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's Thursday. Coming up later on, we'll recap last night's Rockstar Supernova. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop going to be here. Also, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy here with Sarah X. Dillon, Tim Riley. Oh, wait, I got to find the... Is this George in Wilsonville? All right, hold on 1 second.
One big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.
George Ho.
How
Hello.
You doing, buddy?
How are you, sir?
You know, we go a long way back, you and I.
Oh, God.
5.0 listener and all that.
Uh-huh. I'm not giving you any money. I'm not bailing anybody out of jail.
I'm just asking a small favor.
Uh-huh.
In regards to your cannibal watch, I have a bone to pick with you.
Is that a play on words?
I guess it is.
Okay.
It?
I have a bone to gnaw. I have some flesh to strip away from your still living body.
You and I both share the love of Weird Al. In fact, you probably introduced to me most of what I know about Weird Al.
Okay.
And but over the years, you've been heard multiple times to be degrading the genius of Weird Al.
That's not true at all.
Yeah, no. Didn't hear me out. When he says, or when you sing along and you say, "Oh Lord," when he actually says, "Oh Lard," that's in the nice greasy food preparation.
Are you really calling up to quibble about a vowel?
It's genius we're talking about. Oh Lord versus Oh Lard.
Okay.
In the context?
All right. Here's the thing. I'll make you a deal.
Deal.
You promise never to complain about this again, and I will promise to forget that this phone call ever happened.
How about this? I'll complain about it four more times, and you'll start saying, "Oh, Lord."
What?
Oh, I can't hear you. You're breaking up.
Thank you. Oh, it's too bad. Thank you. Well, that's unfortunate, isn't it? Oh, well, that's regrettable. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Speaking of cannibals, Senator Rick Santorum used a gathering at West Penn Hospital today to repeat his claim that civilization is on the brink of another world war. Santorum said that the real problem with escalating energy costs are not the damage they are doing to the economy, but that we're giving the Middle East countries the ability to arm themselves. Aren't we selling this stuff? I don't know. The senator said that this generation might look back to the future the way our grandparents, I remember...
Did you really say that?
I do.
Right. Okay.
I'm reading what it says here. The way our grandparents, and I remember 1938.
We're in 1938, and we're in a world war. We just don't know it. They're in a world war. They know it. They know what they want to accomplish.
These are a bunch of out-of-context soundbites strung together by my promo person.
They say it in English. They don't say it to Mike Wallace. They say it in Farsi. They say it in Arabic. But they say it. They're very, very clear about what they want.
Is he speaking to us via a shell that I'm holding up to one of my ears? Because that's kind of what it sounds like there. All right.
Senator Santorum said that Iran is the center of Islamic fascism.
If what we're dealing with, and I do believe what we're dealing with in the Middle East, is Islamic fascism.
They just made up this term this week.
It's a mosaic. In other words, it's just not one group, but a variety of different terrorist organizations,
like
nation states that make up this mosaic.
But none of them look like us.
Iran is the biggest piece and touches all the others.
Okay.
Santorum said the world is about to change.
We are at a twilight of a different world.
Oh, God, will you just save it till November? For the love of sweet Christ.
We are at a twilight of a different world.
Sounds like a soap opera.
Right now. Everybody feels comfortable. Everybody feels safe. We are in a twilight of a different world.
That's
going to come before us in the next few years. And we can ignore it. We can say we shouldn't do anything about Iran. Or we can realize the enemy that is before us.
Oh, seriously. I would be willing to start tithing 10% if Jesus would just take him and Kirk Cameron right now. Right now. That's it. I don't need to wait till the millennium happens again. I don't need to wait till he who cannot be named takes the throne. You just take him and Willie Ames all at once, and we'll call it a wash.
Meanwhile, Virginia Republican Senator George Allen has made a telephone apology to an Indian-American campaign aide of his opponent. Allen called Shikhar Siddharth Makaka during a campaign stop in the Southwest. Mr. Makaka says he appreciates the senator's call.
I'm glad he apologized, and, you know, I hope he doesn't do this sort of thing in the future, because it is hurtful to a large number of people.
I'm unclear about what happened here exactly.
He called him a macaca.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's not even a word, right? There's macaque.
Yeah.
On the one hand, there's macaque.
Yes. Which is acceptable in most instances.
Wait, hold on. This, I never miss any up there.
Macaque.
There you go.
Macaque.
And then on the other hand, there's macaca, whatever it is he called the guy,
yeah,
which is a made-up word. That's a word that doesn't mean anything because it doesn't exist. So he's apologizing for using a word that doesn't in fact exist or mean anything.
Right.
All right, just checking. All right.
The president of the Minuteman Civil Defense Corps says a Washington-based fiber optic mesh company has agreed to provide up to $7 million in fencing material at no cost to secure our nation's southern border.
Our fence project is moving along. We just had a huge donation this week from corporate America.
Corporate America. Listen to that again.
Our fence project is moving along. We just had a huge donation this week from corporate America.
Okay, there you go. Thank you so much. That's like if you listen to the sound cut about you and whores. At the it, you can't really hear the it's just sort of a $2 huh.
There's nothing wrong with a $2 hole.
There you go. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson Show. All right. All these calls coming in here. Let's see.
As one might expect. This being a talk show.
Hello?
This is such a fast-paced, interactive radio program. Do you remember... hold on just a second, Rhonda. Do you remember...
Sure.
Were you working... Just don't get... You just stay right there. Tim, were you working... With me, was this the period of time when they went through this radio, they went through this phase where they weren't calling this talk radio, they were calling it interactive radio? Is that what, am I misremembering that? Was that here? I think it was this guy, Brian Jennings, who I admire, by the way, in respect, who was one of my consultants for a long time. But we went through this phase, because first it was talk radio for the longest time. And then I get they decided that didn't sound high-tech enough. So they started calling it conversation radio. Conversation radio, I think they were trying to get away from the image that it was just a bunch of stodgy old white guys. And then I think somewhere, like... 2000, 2001, it was no longer conversation radio, it was interactive radio. Because they were trying, that was during the time of that whole internet bubble thing. And so, but I think it's gone back to being talk radio, but there was a time when I... Scotty's telling me it's macaque radio. but there was this time that it was interactive radio. Hello, Brandon. How can I help
you? Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Hey, so, macaca is a real word.
Okay.
It actually comes from macaque. It's actually like, would be like calling an African American, calling one a monkey.
So it is actually a word. So
it means that, and it means it in French Tunisia, which just happens to be where Alan's, the guy who said it, his mother is from French Tunisia.
French Tunisia, which is also, French Tunisia, which doubled as the planet of Tatooine in Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope.
That is correct. In fact, I think she played Aunt Beru, but I can't be sure on that.
So you can see how
his mother,
you see how at the end of the day, really, we don't care about people getting along. I don't care about politics. I don't care about real problems. I just care about the chance to make Tatooine and Hoth references.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, fair enough. I mean, again, it doesn't matter to me one way or the other. I thought the guy was just completely, I thought it was wrong on numerous levels because
right.
I thought the guy was attempting to be racist and failing even at that by making up a word. But
what I find funny is that I think he probably thought no one would connect it.
Yeah,
who's ever heard of French Tunisian slang?
Sure, because
he's heard of French Tunisian slang because his mom's from there. So.
Well, and the idea that, plus the idea that he somehow wouldn't ever, there was a time in this country, I think especially as a politician, when you could say something and it wasn't immediately going to be beamed around the world and seen by everyone.
Right.
Like George W. Bush giving that hideous woman a massage a few weeks ago. Did you see that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you see the German chancellor?
Yeah.
And your president decided to go up there and give like a slow, sensuous massage to a big sort of butch-looking truck driver lady from Germany.
The next time I come back, I'll second her toes.
You're absolutely right. It used to be that way, but we have had the satellites for something like 25, 30 years now. So.
Yeah, I mean, you slip up and do something like this, yeah, everybody will know about it. All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Well, I might as well just take this now. Let's see. Hello, Bill. How can I assist you on this very fine Thursday?
I just stopped putting down Christians so much. It gets real old. Put down some religions for once.
I'm sorry? Hello. I know you're there. Because I haven't heard you hang up. I didn't even hear what he said. All right, well, there you go.
I think something about putting down Christians.
Oh, I can do that. Religion. Does he feel there's not enough? Does he feel that it needs to be amplified?
Yes, he does.
All right. Oh,
no,
I
really
see. There you go. All right, now let me just in... And
one big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.
Just for you, sir. All right, we'll get to some of these supernova comments as we plunge headlong into the next hour. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
And I know this goes back to that Terry guy the other day, and to Dan before him. Does it seem... There's a radio term. I'm not going to bog you down a bunch of radio terms. But in radio, there's different kinds of listeners, and they come up with all these sort of technical terms to identify different types of people. You hear us use the word P1 a lot. Mm-hmm. And a P1 is somebody it's a hardcore listener. It's a hardcore, somebody who's very into it. They tune in every day. They listen every day.
Yeah.
You know, they spread the word. They blah, blah, blah. And then there are more casual listeners. There are people who are samplers, you know, and all of that. Does it seem lately... Like, we're getting a lot of people who have not listened to this program before. And by the way, which is fine with me, I'm glad to have them, all are welcome here. We are a big tent, as the Republicans would say. I'm just saying, just simply as an observational note here, does it seem, though, that we are getting a lot of people who are perhaps sampling or trying out this radio station or radio program who maybe have not listened in the past. Because that would explain the people who are calling up and apparently are unaware of what kind of a radio show we do here. And these are the ones who call up and they're upset that we're not putting enough hard fact into the news.
Right.
And that we're pandering to the lowest common denominator, which we've been doing for years. I've been pandering to the lowest common denominator for like a good 15 years.
Right, it's the thing to do if you're not NPR.
Really? I mean, in eight of those in Portland. And nor will that be changing anytime soon. So, I mean, you know, like it, don't like it, call, don't call. I'm just saying, so this is really more of an observation than anything else. Anecdotally speaking, it does seem like we have a lot more people who are just sort of stopping by to see what it is that we do here at the House of...
Well, they're on their way to looking for music of your life, which changes the style position every few months.
They can't find Radio Disney.
Where's Oh My Papa?
That's fantastic.
Finally got one of those microphones that connect to my cassette recorder, and I'm going to record it next time they sing it. Where's my old friend Wink Martindale?
Will you play Deck of Cards? All right. Did you ever play Deck of Cards?
I probably have.
Oh, man, that's the worst song ever. Here's Tim Riley.
We all know about MySpace, which is the home of more than 100 million youngsters. Well, it's also the home to 12 Paris Hiltons. This last call will not know who any of these people are. At least 12 Paris Hiltons, 16 David Spades, and about two dozen Eva Longorias. The proliferation of celebrity posers frustrates many MySpace members who use the site to follow news about and send fan mail to pop icons.
I wonder about that sometimes. And look, I don't spend all of my time on MySpace, but I do spend a lot of time on MySpace. Mm. And I do wonder sometimes, like, have you got...
One of my friends pretends to be Parker Posey.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Does she have MySpace.com/Parker Posey?
I think so. Well, she has all of her pictures. She gets, like, fan email from her all the time.
That's so great. Well, there's a MySpace.com/Phil Hendry that looks very real. And it turns out the guy eventually had to put up a thing. He wasn't trying to fool anybody, but it was a fan site. And he eventually put up a thing saying, like, I am not really Phil Hendry and blah, 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 blah. But he totally had me fooled because it was the clips from the show and it was like, you know, links to, like, old archives of Phil Hendry and whatnot. And occasionally I will see something and I wonder, because there really is no way to tell. I mean, unless it says official, but even then, how could you really tell? So we should create a MySpace profile for somebody that no one would really... Let me ask you this right now. Who is the least likely celebrity to have a MySpace profile? And then let's create one for that person. Don't say Abe Vigoda. That's too predictable.
Ernest Borgnine.
I was going to say...
Why was that?
Because I have three go-to celebrities, and I think we all have the same three.
Okay.
I have...
That's pretty scary.
There are millions
of celebrities available.
You know what it is, Tim Riley? It's because you and I have been, again, pandering to that lowest common denominator for like a good half a decade together.
That's true.
But I think our minds have now just melded, and we've become one. I have... And I can see all your private little thoughts. It's like sharing a folder on a network. Let's see. I have three go-to celebrities when it comes to talking about old people that are out of touch who you thought were probably dead. One, Abe Vigoda, who I think is everybody's number one. Two, Ernest Borgnine. Three, anybody know? It's a woman.
Oh, the one from Golden Girls?
B. Arthur. B. Arthur is my third go-to celebrity. But see, here's the thing. Attention, I got a kid yesterday who called me or emailed me from... Mount Hood Community College, home of Scotty J and Kristen Bowie and so forth. And he's like, I would like to be a DJ. Can I come watch you do your radio program? And I haven't gotten back to him yet. But just as a service to anybody out there who's maybe pondering, having their own kooky radio program, whether online, whether on the radio, whether whatever. This is the key to funny right here. Here's the key to being funny. What you do is you construct a sentence that indicates that you'll be inserting one type of celebrity, bam, and then you insert somebody totally different. Such as, hey, has anybody seen my nude pictures of?
Whoopi Goldberg.
See, you got it. See, it's so easy. A child could do it.
Mm-hmm. Or normally, a man.
Yeah, normally you would think nude pictures of, whatever, Alyssa Milano. No. Nude pictures of Abe Vigoda. See, it's funny because it's ironic. So there you go. So, yes, the three celebrities that are go-tos there are Abe Vigoda, B. Arthur, Ernest Borgnine. So I don't think we can do any of those. So now there's sort of a B level. There's like a second tier of unlikely celebrities who would have a MySpace page. Conrad Bain. I go to Conrad Bain a lot. You know why? That is simply linguistics. Conrad Bain is a funny name, and it's because Bain is one syllable, and it has the B, the sibilant, the Bain. It's funny. So you just, you all, you know, there's comedians out there, just make a note of this. You can feel free to use that. Let's see. Oh, here we go. Oh, is Scott gone? Oh, that's too bad. He has to finish all your sentences with Sounders, says Scotty J. Thank you. No, that's entirely correct. Thank you so much. And oh, I was going to use something funnier there. Somebody did send us some Richard Quest, though.
The plane undergone three key changes. New fuel tanks lined with Kevlar to prevent spills in the event the tanks get punctured. Extra wiring and strengthened wiring.
I have no idea what this is even in reference to.
And, of course, new tires to prevent any accident at high speed. Joining me to discuss what's happened to Concorde and whether it's worth putting the plane back in the sky.
The only funny thing here is at the end when he says the word
bendy. I suppose your very title means that you're going to tell me it's worth putting Concorde back in the sky.
Well, we're convinced that it is, and our customers are telling us that. Since we opened Concorde up for sale just a few weeks ago, we've had over 7,000 bookings. So indications are very positive that people are very much looking forward to seeing Concorde flying again.
The cost of the ticket, of course, we know is in the thousands of dollars, about $10,000, $11,000 for the round trip. I've got my gold card here to make sure that all goes according to plan, and at least they let me on board.
The longest sound card ever.
Thought, even for all that money, it'll be plastic cutlery. They're not even getting the stainless steel out. Regulations, of course, following September the 11th, means it'll be the bendy stuff when we take to the air.
See, it's all worth it right there just to get to him saying, plastic cutlery, and then bendy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there you go. Well, you could create Richard Quest's MySpace page. All right, so note to self. We'll get Steve and John here in a second. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Meanwhile, a new study by the Bridge Rating Service shows that consumers who spend less time with music radio tend to have more songs on their digital music players. No.
I'm stunned. That's the hell you say.
Yes. Apparently, they tend to store more songs on their MP3 players. According to the survey, which
I can't believe this.
2,900 people between the ages of 12 and 54, light users of radio, average 410 songs, while heavy radio users average 209 songs.
My whole world is crumbling around me.
59% of those surveys say they have fewer than 100 songs in their MP3.
Who has fewer? Those people are liars. Who has? You know what it is? That's some guy who's afraid he's secretly being interviewed by the MPAA and they're going to stick him in prison. There's no one you know that has fewer than 100 songs on their MP3 player. Nobody.
The average owner of a digital music player stores only 349 songs.
I work in radio, and I've probably got 5,000 songs on my MP3 player. Speaking of which, does Verizon advertise with that? It doesn't really matter. I'm just going to say, you seen the ads for that chocolate phone?
Oh, yeah, I've seen them everywhere.
Does anybody know what that phone actually does? Is it just a phone that's an MP3 player?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, it looks like an iPod in the phone.
That's what I'm saying. Look, and I use Verizon. I will
Some
tell you
child
this.
Is going to eat it. Bye.
I'm sorry. I'm not laughing at child death. Well.
Not, I mean, it's possible. What if they put one of those on Happy Meal?
Please stop. I'm simply saying, and I have Verizon. I am a Verizon customer. They're very fine. I've never had any problem with them. But my wife is all about, you know, because here's the thing about my wife. God love her, but she's so, I'm not going to say that she's not a smart woman, because she is. But she's such a consumer whore. She really is just so easily marketed to and manipulated to sometimes. I mean, my wife is very much, God love her, she's great. But my wife is very much a keeping up with the Joneses kind of person in terms of personal acquisition. Not in terms of like buying a house or in terms of like clothing. She's not really into fashion. She kind of wears what she likes and that's about it. But man, when it comes to stuff and consumer items and goods and electronics, she is just, and like cooking utensils and like stuff for the kitchen, she is so into just keeping up with whatever she's being told everybody is buying. And now she's all over that chocolate phone. And the weird thing is, she's got an iPod. I mean, she's got like a 30 gig iPod. She has the definitive MP3 player and a cell phone, I might add. The whole thing just makes no sense at all.
That clearly beats all the Joneses in your neighborhood.
It does. It's just, you know, really, the thing is, when you give it to me, though, you're really just giving it to my neighbors one step removed. Because it's, you know, every two or three days you come home and a different window's kicked in. Let's see. Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going, Rick?
What's up, brother?
Didn't get a chance to watch Supernova last night, but you haven't done the update yet?
No, we'll do that, probably in the 1 o'clock hour.
All right, well, that question, I'll just wait for that. Another question. Have you gotten tickets to Supernova here in Portland in February yet?
Now, see, let me ask you a question here. I was in a department head, or a promotions meeting this morning. We were talking about Rockstar Supernova and blah, 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 blah. I've lived in the Northwest almost all of my life. I've seen dozens and dozens and dozens of shows here. But I always get all the various venues confused. There is the Rose Garden.
Right.
There is the Theater of the Clouds, which is just part of the Rose Garden. Where they close everything off.
They pull a shower curtain across half of it.
Like with the Indigo Girls, so they can pretend that they're a major draw. Honey, you know I love them.
The Coliseum.
Yeah. And then there's Memorial Coliseum.
That's the thing that looks like a box.
Which is a separate building.
Right.
Okay, that's where I saw Ralph Nader. Now, somebody was saying this morning...
That place smells like urine. It does. Walk through the door.
Supernova's going to be playing at the Coliseum.
That's the opening act. Now, see, yeah, somebody told me they were playing at the Memorial Coliseum.
Yeah, which I have no idea why.
And then somebody else this morning, though, was insisting that it was the Rose Garden.
No, we bought the tickets online yesterday, and it is at the Coliseum.
All right, so
center stage, 8 rows back.
Supernova is playing the Memorial Coliseum February 16th.
Yeah.
Now, see, here's the thing. And again, I don't know anything you don't know. I don't know I don't know anything about the outcome. I don't know nothing. But it does seem one of two ways. Either they figure Storm is going to win, or she won't win, but it's in her contract with CBS that she'll have to perform when that tour comes here.
No, what it is they're going to have all of the contestants at least make an appearance on stage with them.
Oh, like the American Idol tour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's my roommate got the tickets, and he said, yeah, that's what it says on the website, that they're going to make an appearance with the band.
So,
we'll
get to see Zaira up close and impersonal. That's almost worth it. To be honest, really,
yeah.
As much as we dogged on her, it almost would be fantastic to see Zaira in concert. It really would.
Yeah. Definitely.
All right. All right. Hey,
so,
thank you.
Do you think she will at least be able to throw you guys some tickets?
Who knows? I mean, you know, we like to think so. I mean, Storm's obviously she's close to the power center there, so we'll see how it unfolds.
Oh yeah. All Tommy's so hot for her. He'll turn her on to a few tickets.
It's all gonna end in blood. Thank you, sir.
Adios.
All right. There you go. That's
what were they saying? Were they separate them into two groups? Like I'm a little bit country, you're a little bit rock and roll.
I haven't seen
Afternoon Delight.
I don't know. Are there light years? Before we'll do this, we'll do another story, then we'll break. But I will ask you this. Are there any of these Supernova contestants that you would pay to go see if they played, like, whatever, pick a smaller, you know, like Dante's? Like, if it was $15.
I'd probably pay to go see Ryan.
I think I would, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd pay to see Ryan. Storm, obviously. I'd pay to see Ryan.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to think if there's anybody else
Lana
in that
I'd pay
group.
To just throw stuff at her.
pay to go in and
God, kill her. Last night was so wonderful.
It was so satisfying.
It was so good.
Don't. You got to hold it all in. You got to save that. We'll talk about that here. It was. I actually was laying in bed last night wishing I was dead. But I hauled myself to the sofa, just like the hand over hand, you know, on all fours like a man crawling through the desert. I got to the television so I could watch the reaming of Delana last night, which was so satisfying. Just thinking back on it now, just feel satisfied all over again. Let's do one more here, and then we'll take a break for a little bitch.
Time for a Geek Watch.
Here's your Geek Watch for Thursday in the Rick Emerson Radio program.
Ugh, this high-speed modem is intolerably slow.
In the Quasar Dilemma, remember, you used to...
Just a television show. That's all, okay?
Right, but... Because we were wondering if the quantum flux... Now, just listen on it.
There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn ship. You got it?
Energize.
Sorry.
Leading astronomers have declared today that Pluto is no longer a planet under historic new guidelines that downsized the solar system from 9 planets to 8. This after some deafening applause for the decision.
I thought it was happening the other way. I thought it was going from like 9 to 15.
No. They want to downsize the planets.
They did like a Navarro thing. It's like they were going one way and then they went another way.
Right. They're having a little planet convention. The International Astronomical Union has stripped Pluto of its planetary status, which it's held since 1930, so it's a very old planet.
The new definition of what is and what isn't a planet fills the century-old black hole for scientists who have labored since Copernicus without one. What am I talking about?
Oh, I was just going to say, what's a Copernicus?
I don't know.
Is that a club somewhere?
It probably is.
Did you say that there was a something black hole?
There is a black hole for scientists to go to. I guess it's like a hospitality suite.
All right. Okay.
It could be argued that we created an umbrella called planet under which the dwarf planets exist, said one woman.
You have no idea what any of this means.
Well,
here's the great thing.
This is scientist speak.
With all these words and facts, I could take this story from your hands and quiz you on it 5 seconds from now and you'd fail it. You wouldn't
know anything. I never did well in science.
Okay.
I did well in when I plays, though.
Okay.
From now, membership will be restricted to 8 classical planets of the solar system, those being Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune. The much maligned Pluto didn't make the grade under the new rules for a planet, which is a celestial body.
Much maligned by who? Really? Who sits around and maligns? If you find yourself sitting around on a Friday night, what shall we do? Let's sit around and get some beer and malign Pluto for a while. You might want to reassess your circle of friends. There's a little FYI from me to you.
Now, Charon, the largest of Pluto's 3 moons, who knew it did, is no longer under consideration for any special designations. So, the Pluto lobby left in tears.
So eat it! Suck that! Yeah! Yeah, in your face!
No more applications for new planets will be accepted until the next meeting in the Czech Republic.
Okay. Everybody can insert your planet, damn it. Whatever jokes here. All right, there's your Geek Watch. We'll come back. We'll talk Rockstar Supernova. Stay there so Rick covers the show.
I shall avenge you.
Next. Ooh, loneliness and cheeseburgers are a dangerous mix.